Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Following a stand together against racism and radicalism in the services incorporated at STARS Town Hall meeting, a former permanent Air Force Academy professor and department chair reached out to STARS with concerns. Six full-time professors resigned in protest from our U.S. Air Force Academy for the following main reasons. One, a dean of faculty with virtually no operational experience who was uncommitted to academic excellence and contemptuous of the honor code. And a purposeful intent to establish low rigor majors to mirror the academic ability of intercollegiate athletes. And the use of intimidation to silence full professors. And a deliberate policy to accentuate the influence of civilian faculty to the detriment of military instructors. And an overall decline of academic quality available to cadets. Wow. Okay, joining me today at the 50 caliber microphone, of course, Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, how did you celebrate Thanksgiving? Did you kill any deer or kill any turkeys or what?
Colonel, I had a great time. It was a good family time for us. I ate way too much food. I didn't exercise enough. I watched too many movies. I did shoot a deer, but that's the only work that I did, and it didn't feel like work at all.
Well, I at least joined you in the fact that I ate too much. Okay, here's what we have for you today. A news and comments by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss the opinions of our nation's citizens on Israel's war with Hamas. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then former Ambassador and former Director of National Intelligence Richard Grenell will join us to discuss Israel. Next, Teresa Robinson will share about female veterans. Then Garner Veal will present the American Legion's Boy State program. And Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. And we'll start with the news, of course. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, an internal memo obtained through a Freedom of Information Act, a FOIA request, revealed that our border control agents are being directed to avoid the use of gender-specific pronouns when first interacting with someone. Quote, do not use he, him, she, her pronouns until you have more information about or provided by the individual, reads the memo. Agents are to use a universal greeting, such as good morning or good evening, in the initial greeting. Quote, if an incorrect pronoun is used and corrected by the individual, acknowledge the oversight and use the correct pronoun, the memo reportedly reads. It also cautions agents about terms used by the LGBTQ community, citing differences within the community and semantic changes over time. Quote, illegal aliens are among the members that public border patrol agents deal with on a daily basis.
Our nation is overwhelmed with illegal aliens, some of whom are terrorists. I guess it wasn't enough for our government leaders to betray the border patrol by purposely unleashing chaos under the southern border. Now, the radical political leadership is enrolling agents in a forced speech program to call people, including illegal aliens, by their preferred pronouns. Hey, I just heard that the guy who delivers mail to my house, who I used to call a mailman, I now have to call him the person. What do you think, Skip?
I'm thinking, how are they going to enforce that one, Colonel? It ain't going to happen, is it?
No.
And speaking of border issues, Finland says Russia is sending hundreds of migrants from African and Middle Eastern countries across its border illegally and has closed all but one border crossing in response. Finland closed 4 of 8 land border crossings last month, but reported organized crossings had continued and expanded north. It now will close all but the northernmost crossing in Lapland, calling this a matter of collective European concern. The European Union's border agency, Frontex, said that it will send significant reinforcement, including 50 border guard officers, to Finland. The Finnish prime minister left no doubt about who he believes is responsible for the arrival of 700 migrants without visas last month alone. Quote, Russia has sought for years to cause discord, to shake unity in Europe, and to weaken the Western alliance and international rules-based order, he said in a televised address to Parliament. quote, Russia started this and Russia also can stop it, unquote.
Russia is not just attacking Ukraine. In a less violent way, it's attacking Finland and who knows what other nations. So we're not the only nation being attacked by illegal immigrants. And Russia is an enemy.
And House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Turner, Republican from Ohio, said late last month that the terrorist threat to the U.S. is the highest that it's been in over a decade. Turner made the remarks during a recent CBS News interview while discussing FBI Director Christopher Wray's recent testimony to Congress about how foreign terror groups like Al-Qaeda are calling for terrorist attacks against the U.S. Quote, this is very, very unusual for the FBI director to so publicly make these statements, Turner said. And certainly in his conversations with the Intelligence Committee, they've been on an unclassified basis. So we have the ability to talk about it. It certainly shows the extent to which these threats are troubling the director. Quote, and what he's indicated specifically is that in more than a decade, the increase in terrorist threats to the U.S. inside the U.S. is at its highest ever, he continued. And he cites that the chaotic withdrawal of Afghanistan and our loss of intelligence gathering there. He cites the southern border and individuals who are allied with international terrorist organizations that have crossed the border, unquote.
Despite my loss of respect for the FBI because of their role in targeting political conservatives, I do believe that Mr. Wray's comments are right on. All indicators are that our nation is in the process of being infiltrated by those who hate us. Terrorists. You can see what terrorists do in Israel. Why would they do anything different here? Why is our federal government not acting?
And the terrorist group Hezbollah recently fired over 50 rockets at military posts in northern Israel a day after an Israeli airstrike on a home in southern Lebanon killed five of the group's senior fighters. The waves of rockets sent over the border represented one of the most intense bombardments since Hezbollah started attacking Israeli posts in the country's north at the beginning of the Israel-Hamas war. Hezbollah has said that by heating up its actions on the Israel-Lebanon border, it is easing pressure on the Gaza Strip, where Israel's crushing aerial, ground, and naval offensive has caused wide destruction in the sealed-off enclave. Hezbollah said that the volleys it fired toward Israeli posts included 48 Katyusha rockets that were directed at an Israeli army base about 6 miles south of the border. The group said its fighters also struck tanks and locations where Israeli troops were taking positions. The deaths bring the number of Hezbollah fighters who have been killed in 7 weeks of fighting to at least 83.
So Israel is not just fighting Hamas. No surprise, many of the Iran-supported terrorist groups are attacking Israel. Indeed, Yemen's Iran-based Houthi rebels released a video said to show their forces seizing an Israeli-linked cargo ship in the Red Sea. And all these terrorist groups want the same thing, all Jews dead. How does one negotiate a peace treaty with such people?
And an American AC-130 gunship struck a vehicle in Iraq and killed Iranian-backed fighters who had targeted an airbase used by our forces with missiles and a drone. Al-Assad Air Base in western Iraq was attacked by the fighters with close-range ballistic missiles, causing several non-serious injuries, as well as some damage to infrastructure, the latest in what has become numerous attacks on troops in the region. The attack on an installation used by our military in the Middle East is at least the 66th since October 17th, and our personnel have suffered at least 62 injuries.
The Middle East is quickly becoming a battle zone. There's no telling how big or how broad the fighting will become. This is not just about Israel and Hamas. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. I encourage you to check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Ambassador Richard Grinnell. At ease, troops, take a break.
Military leaders have called our national debt the greatest threat facing America, and for good reason. We're more than $32 trillion in debt and counting.
Meanwhile, Congress continues to throw money at the Pentagon and Veterans Affairs with no idea if the money is reaching its intended targets.
Concerned Veterans for America fights for more responsible spending from Washington so Americans remain safe and prosperous in the future.
Visit cbafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cbafrontlines.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. A loyal dog can be a useful force multiplier when it comes to home defense. They have keen hearing and sense of smell and will likely sense danger before their human counterparts. A large, obedient, and well-trained dog can deter and even delay an attacker, giving you time to get to your gun. Even a small dog will provide advanced warning and possibly save the lives of yourselves and the ones you love. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and your information listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. The horrific Hamas attack on Israel in October was not the first time Hamas has attacked and killed innocent Jews. They've done it hundreds and hundreds of times, though this was by far the biggest attack. It's reasonable that the Israeli government would decide that Hamas needed to be destroyed, lest it continue killing Jews into the future. And Hamas has really militarized Gaza with military tunnels under schools and hospitals and more. And there's plenty of evidence that all the schools in Gaza teach all the students at every level to hate and want to kill Jews. And this has been going on for generations. Okay, the majority of Americans say they support Israel, according to a new survey from the Harvard Caps Harris poll. 80% of voters said they support Israel amid the ongoing war with Hamas, a Palestinian terrorist organization. However, the polling showed the percentage of support for Israel increasing by age group. 55% of the 18 to 24-year-olds said they supported Israel, while 65% of the 25 to 34-year-olds said the same. 75% of the 35 to 44-year-olds said they supported Israel, and 95% of voters older than 65 said the same. Quote, when asked the clear question on whether voters supported Israel or Hamas, Americans gave a clear answer they support Israel and proposed congressional aid, said Mark Penn, the co-director of the Harvard Caps Harris poll. They also support four-hour passes and other help to those in Gaza and believe that Israel has the right to continue its campaign unless hostages are released. Calls for a ceasefire have grown as the Palestinian death toll reaches over 11,000 in Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza. The war started last month after Hamas launched a terror attack on Israel, killing roughly 1,200 people. President Biden, with his administration, have been largely supportive of Israel, despite growing criticism against the country's bombardment in Gaza and calls for a ceasefire. According to the latest Harris poll, 66% of voters said Biden should support Israel and not pull back. However, younger voters were more likely to say Biden should pull back his support, the poll found. 61% of 18 to 24-year-olds said Biden should pull back, while 84% of voters over 65 years old said he should support Israel. The divide between younger and older voters on the matter continues when it comes to calls for ceasefire. 64% of 18 to 24-year-olds, 66% of 25 to 34-year-olds, and 71% of 35 to 44-year-olds say a ceasefire is right. But the number starts to decrease among older voters. 44% of 45 to 54-year-olds, 50% of 55 to 65-year-olds, and 57% of voters over 65 said a ceasefire is wrong because it gives more power to Hamas. The latest findings come as other polls show Biden's standings among younger voters plummeting, with many blaming him for the handling of the war in Gaza. An NBC News poll showed Biden's approval rating among 18 to 34-year-olds at 31%, down from 46% in September. The Harvard Caps Harris poll was conducted in mid-November with 2,851 respondents surveyed, in a collaboration with the Center for American Political Studies at Harvard University and the Harris Poll. Results were weighed with age, within gender, region, race, ethnicity, marital status, household size, income, employment, education, political party, and political ideology, where necessary to align them with their actual proportions in the population. Okay, this does show that most Americans are aware that there's a war going on in Israel. The response seems to be more emotional than fact-based, especially among younger voters. I mean, how can anyone support a group like Hamas whose only stated goal is to kill people, like Hamas wanting to kill all Jews? And how does any thinking person support a group that takes innocent civilians as hostages? Would it be okay if some group came here in the United States and decided to take hostages, and we would just have to go along with them and do whatever's necessary to get the hostages back, and then let peace prevail? How about supporting a group that attacks innocent civilians, killing them, and in some cases torturing them? This is somehow an acceptable activity ever? Well, in this case, some will say the Jews stole the land. As we've been saying in this show, the international community agreed that Jews should be welcomed back to their original home. Yes, many of the people there were required to move, but this kind of thing has happened many, many, many times throughout the history, and the displaced people found a new home. And since the displaced people were Arab Muslims, and all of the countries around Israel were Arab Muslim nations, that's where they should have been welcomed, but weren't. Why is this the only place in the history of the world where after three generations, everyone isn't settled in their new home? And how does this affect our military? I truly hope that we will not be sending combat units to assist our ally Israel. Well, the youngest people interviewed in the polls that we just discussed are the ones that are thinking most radically and are taking a position that is very contrary to the rest of our nation. And those are the ones our military is trying to recruit. Back 60 years ago, when I was a company commander in the 101st Airborne Division in both the U.S. and in Vietnam, many of my troops were draftees, yet all of my men, with one or two exceptions, were good soldiers who wanted to serve our nation and saw our evil enemies as evil enemies. I didn't have to sell any of them on seeing bad guys as bad guys. And I fear our current leaders may have to do just that. We need our families and our schools to be sharing factual information with our next generation, not feeding emotional responses. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom next with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Hey, Roland, what do you have to share this week?
In 2017, a group of experts in the VA's Integrative Health Coordinating Center published a statement approving what is known as EFT, or Emotional Freedom Techniques. The VA has approved EFT by their therapist for clients suffering from PTSD, depression, anxiety, pain, and other conditions. Emotional Freedom Techniques, or EFT, has been studied in over 100 clinical trials, and it's shown that the approach is effective for a variety of psychological and physical conditions. Even the U.S. Army is now using EFT as part of their self-help strategy in combating the emotional effects of PTSD and other disorders. You know, when an emotional traumatic event is registered in the brain, it creates a neurologic response that the body and the mind remember as negative. And with every reminder of that event, the electrical response to the memory through the brain triggers complex emotional and negative responses in the body. EFT uses acupressure in the form of tapping. A patient uses their fingers to tap on a series of acupuncture points on the Chinese medicine meridian lines. These lines are passive energy throughout the body on the head, face, hands, and torso. Eastern medicine practitioners assert that pressing or tapping or inserting needles on these specific points can alter the body's energy flow and their electrical responses. This allows the brain to reinterpret the stimulus in a much less negative way. And for this reason, EFT is often called tapping. Therapists first began to draw the attention of EFT to the VA in 2004. That's when they found it was a quick and successful treatment for the first group of veterans that were returning from Iraq. And Fort Hood offered a very successful PTSD treatment program using EFT for many years. However, that program was shut down in 2015. So after that, in a way to fill that gap that was left by the program, a new group was established called the Veterans Stress Project. And they established treatment guidelines for using EFT with veterans with PTSD. It recommends 10 treatment sessions. However, many times only 5 sessions are needed to eliminate symptoms like flashbacks, nightmares, and hypervigilance. EFT, or tapping, has been clinically proven to be a successful pharma-free therapy for a range of issues, including PTSD. And it can be learned by anyone. And you can apply it to yourself whenever you want, wherever you are, putting you in control of your destiny. For Front Lines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll discuss Israel with Ambassador Richard Grinnell. Then we'll talk with Teresa Robinson about female veterans. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gilliam. You are standing tall with Front Lines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some boxing. Do about 3 rounds. Take a break and do another 3 rounds. Then stand at ease.
Hey, HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show a family friend and longtime supporter of the show, Ambassador Richard Grinnell. Rick was the U.S. Ambassador to Germany, where he also played a role in the Middle East and was the Acting Director of National Intelligence. And those are just a couple of the roles he's played in our government. So welcome, Rick. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Danny. It's always a pleasure.
Rick, give us a quick overview of your time as ambassador to Germany and the other roles you played in the Middle East.
Well, obviously, as U.S. ambassador to Germany, one of your top goals is to really remind the world of the horrors of anti-Semitism and what anti-Semitism can lead to. I think the German government and the German people know that. They're very sensitive to it. The then German government, which committed the atrocities, genocide of the Holocaust, are a stark reminder. And it's part of the saying when most of us around the world say never again will we let this happen. And I have to say that it was quite sad, and it made me very angry to watch what Hamas did on October 7th, beheading people. We all saw videos. And Denny, I have to tell you, I forced myself to watch some of these videos of abuse. And the reason I did is it's very difficult for me to watch some of this. But I feel like as public policy officials and people with voices in the media, in the public, that we have a responsibility to understand very clear-eyed what's happening. And when I would watch, for instance, the German tourist who was just simply at a concert and she was enjoying life, enjoying music, enjoying some free time, some warm weather, and for her to be taken, raped, brutally beaten, legs broken, thrown into a pickup truck and paraded through the streets of the Palestinian territories, and have the public come up, touch her like an animal. They were touching like a dead animal and spitting on her. And these raw moments to me are ingrained in me. I saw another video of somebody with a hoe trying to chop off someone's neck after they were almost dead. And this is what Hamas is. Hamas is ISIS. And we have to look at the facts. And the facts are pretty clear, is that Israel pulled out of the Palestinian territories and chaos ensued when they did. It got worse. I mean, the Palestinians, they created their own government. They voted for Hamas. They voted for these other groups. And so I do believe that the responsibility for governing is on the part of the Palestinians. They haven't had an election since 2005, when Mahmoud Abbas was elected to a five-year term. It's now 2023. He's in his 18th year of his five-year term. And I don't care what anyone says about, well, you know, they're just not equipped for elections. We'll get it together. These people, the Palestinian people, need to rise up and pick a government that represents them that's not a terrorist organization. It's their responsibility. You can't blame anybody else. And I'm really clear-eyed about the fact that the excuses have been diminished. They've run out of excuses when they talk about why they haven't had an election in 18 years. 18 years. Get it together and pick a government that is for peace and stop blaming everybody else.
Well, World War II, Japan had a government. Nazi Germany had a government. That didn't excuse the people who put up with their government, who didn't revolt against their government, who didn't try to change their government. And we were willing to go to war against them.
Yeah, look, one thing that we need to make very clear is that, of course, we realize that there are innocent people in the Palestinian territories that are like sheep, just going along with the shepherd and being led into these terrible situations. And I get they don't have power and you know, they don't have a voice, and it's extremely difficult. I get that it's extremely difficult. But after 18 years, there needs to be a process set up where people are petitioning and pushing back. They could get a whole bunch of help from Western governments, the international community, including Arab governments, if they would stand up and try to have an election or run somebody that's not a terrorist and somebody who wants to forge peace. And then lastly, I'll just say this is that, you know, I do know that the Jared Kushner plan, when Jared was putting together for the Trump administration Arab-Israeli peace deals, the Palestinians were offered a very generous offer of having the international community come in and help develop Gaza into a beautiful beachfront resort area and begin that process. This is going to take years. This is going to take a lot of steps. It's not going to be done overnight. We're very clear-eyed about that. But to begin that process of saying you want economic development instead of tunnels and terrorism, I think that they rejected yet again another offer. And we are left with saying, how do you convince people who are unwilling to stand up for a variety of reasons? And again, I get that some of them, some people just don't are not equipped to stand up against Hamas. It's difficult. There's going to be sacrifices that are made, but every society has to go through a point where people sacrifice for freedom. And the current trajectory is not sustainable. It's not good for innocent Palestinians. It's not good for innocent Israelis. And I'll finish with this, is that I feel very strongly. I've been to Jerusalem more times than I can count. And there are Christians, Jews, and Arabs that live peacefully in Jerusalem. And that should be our example.
I agree with you, Rick. And how can anybody, the people in Gaza or the West Bank for that matter, they used to live in what is now Israel. They moved out for good or bad reasons. They are Arab Muslims. All of the nations around them are Arab Muslims. Why didn't they just immigrate to those other countries? And the answer is the other countries wouldn't accept them.
Yeah,
and they won't accept them now.
I'll push back a little bit on that concept, because after working at the UN for 8 years, I do understand that these people just don't want to be told to pick up and move to another country. They believe that this country is theirs, but they do have a responsibility to live next door to people that they don't agree with without stabbing them or shooting them. And this is a very clear message of tolerance and living next to somebody. We all have neighbors that we don't agree with. But when they go on vacation, you pick up their mail and you let people know if there's some suspicious activity going around their house. You're a good neighbor, and you don't have to sign off on all of their beliefs to be a good neighbor. And I think that, this is part of what we have to this is our goal. This is what we have to be working towards.
Yes, I agree. I agree totally. On the other hand, to push back, throughout the history of the world, people have been pushed off their lands. They went somewhere else. They settled peacefully. They didn't sit around hating what had happened. They didn't like it. They may have hated it, but they didn't spend the rest of their lives wishing everybody who are now living where they used to live would be dead, would be killed.
And I think that point is well taken.
Okay. There's a couple of more things I'd like to talk about, and Rick can stay with us for a little bit longer. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, at least a couple times a week. Then take a break and stay in the area. Rick and I will be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. And we're continuing our conversation with Ambassador Rick Grinnell about the situation in Israel. Rick, I certainly agree with everything that we've just discussed. There's also some stuff going on in the West Bank. Hezbollah is over there shooting at Israel. There are other terrorist groups in the area that are all basically funded by Iran attacking Israel. Is this going to become a huge war, multi-front? Is that where it's headed, do you think?
Well, for anyone who doesn't think that Iran is in control, I don't think you're paying attention and you don't understand the situation. Iran is fully in control. It's the Iranian proxies that are being funded. Look at the Houthis that are attacking America. We're up to 70 plus attacks, and the Biden administration has done very little to push back. There's not a credible threat of military action from Biden. There's just a weak response. I do believe that the Iranians are going to have to be dealt with. We cannot be funding them through credit or money or oil sales or a relief of sanctions the way that the Biden administration has been doing for the last 3 years. The Biden administration also has hired some Iranian sympathizers into the U.S. government. And this is unacceptable. We have a media that's completely disinterested because they're not journalists, they're activists for the Democratic Party. First and second generation Americans see this very clearly. They see the media propagandists fighting for the ruling party. They left that system when they came to America. They see totalitarianism and fascism very clearly. And it starts with the media and the one note, the activism, the support for the regime of Joe Biden. How many outrages do we see that are not covered by the media? It happens multiple times a day. And there's a collective yawn from Washington, D.C. I think it's really high time that we send people to Washington, D.C. that are not politicians, that are not people who live and work in Washington, D.C., but outsiders who will go and question everything about D.C. And make no mistake, the outsiders who we want to send to D.C. are going to be the enemy of the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., the media, the lobbyists, the political types, all the people who have addresses in and around Washington, D.C. on their resumes. We need to reject people who are part of the permanent bureaucracy in Washington, who don't care who the president is or who a cabinet official is. They just want to do their own thing. They want to outlast people. This is a real problem, and this is how societies fail. I see it very clearly. And what's been happening over the last 3 years with the funding of Iran, the trying to get close to Iran, the belief by the Biden team that Iran is convincible somehow, that you can just, you know, cozy up to them, offer them carrots in order to get them to act like a responsible member of the international community is a sickness. This regime in Iran must be dealt with very harshly. They only understand force. And if they are not going to be responsible, then we should use every tool that we have, sanctions and otherwise, to squeeze them and to choke off their money.
I agree totally. They are clearly the enemy. They clearly hate us. They have their own goal, and they're not shy about it. They make it pretty clear. So there's no question that they are the problem. One of the problems is, I believe they have nukes now. Maybe they don't, but I think they do.
Well, they're certainly close.
Yeah, they're close if they're not there.
Yeah. I believe that you're right on one thing, is that there's several parts to getting the nuke, right? You have to get the explosive right. You have to be able to miniaturize it onto the head of a missile in order to launch it. You got to have the ignition part right. There are little different parts. And I believe actually that they have mastered all of the parts for what we need to understand. And I'm out of government, so I don't have access to the best intelligence. But what we need to understand is, how close are they to putting all those pieces together? Because they certainly know how to erupt something, how to explode something. They know how to send a missile a long way. They have long-range ballistic missiles. And they know how to ignite separately. But can you miniaturize that, put it on the head of a missile, and put it all together into one thing? It was the same issue that we're having with North Korea on whether or not they can put all the pieces together. I think we need to understand how close they are in Iran.
They are. And both of them have really good friends in Russia and China who know how to do that. So that's an issue, because certainly this could become a nuclear war if those two countries decide to exchange. And at the same time, our forces in the Middle East are being attacked by Iranian-backed terrorists. We had a destroyer attacked by a drone last week. And now we nailed the terrorists. But this is not just what's going on in Israel. There's combat going on other places too, aren't there?
Yeah, and it's just, to me, it all culminates with something that we have to understand, and that people have to get out and vote. None of this would be happening in Ukraine. None of this would be happening in Israel. The Balkans would be at peace. We wouldn't have the problems that we're beginning to see in Taiwan if Donald Trump were president. And I really believe that. And I know, you know, for all of the people who hand wring and say, you know, he's got legal problems, or they don't like his Twitter feed, or whatever, I think a booming economy and peace in the world is enough to convince me that we need Donald Trump back.
Well, at the risk of agreeing with you, Rick, I don't like a lot of the things Donald Trump says, but I like almost everything he did. And I have to live with what he did. And 4 years ago today, things were very, very much better for Americans and for the world than they are today. So, yeah, we see the same things there. Let me go to the terrorism stuff. How can anybody in the world think that taking civilian hostages is acceptable under any circumstances? How can anybody think that torturing people is acceptable under any circumstances? How can anybody think that attacking civilians, you know, at a music concert or anywhere is acceptable? That's what Hamas does. They've never done anything else, and somehow they're good? What am I missing?
Well, look, I think what we've seen is a pretty clear indication of terrorism. And I don't like having other governments tell Israel how to deal with terrorism. We need to let Israel deal with their region and their neighbors and their situation. We need to support them, but we do not need to be second guessing from far away.
Amen. And that's what they want to do too, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think the Biden team is forcing Israel to have a pause, they call it, a cessation of action. I don't like telling Israel what to do. We don't live there. We're not living in the daily situation. Per capita, when you look at what happened on October 7th, it's massively bigger than anything that they've ever had to deal with. And it's really too bad that we have people trying to tell them what to do. I say support Israel, let them deal with their own policies.
Yes, sir. And yes, they'd like support, you know, ammunition and that kind of stuff. But they're not asking for our combat forces or anything. At least if they are, I've missed it. They believe they can handle the situation, and they, I think, are. And except for the pressure they're getting from us and other places like the UN, I think they could have this thing pretty much cleaned up by now if we'd stay out of the way. And yes, innocent civilians will be hurt. There were innocent civilians in the sense that they weren't deliberately trying to kill anybody in Japan when we bombed them, and in Germany when we bombed after World War II. If you put up with a bad government, those are consequences. We weren't trying to kill the civilians, but we had to conduct war to deal with and protect our people. That's all Israel's doing in my mind.
I have watched closely, and I do not see that Israel is being reckless here. I think they are going through painstakingly trying to figure out where Hamas is. They're targeting Hamas. They're not targeting civilians. I don't see evidence that they're targeting civilians, but these situations are extremely difficult. They have a goal to get the people who beheaded, raped, and killed innocent people at a concert and in the surrounding areas. And I think that the world needs to understand that what happened was horrific, and they want to make sure that it never happens again. These are very difficult situations. You don't know where Hamas is. You're trying to find them. Of course, mistakes are going to be made. But again, I don't see that Israel is targeting civilians. I see no evidence of that. I see the opposite. I see Israel working very hard to try to minimize any of the deaths by civilians. They're, you know, holding back in some ways, and I just don't see it. So there's evidence there. Someone should show it to me.
I agree totally with you. Rick, we're about out of time. We've got about a minute. Would you like to sum up your points? What key points would you like our listeners to take away from our talk today?
Well, I think that the world has become more dangerous in the last 3 years under Joe Biden, and it's because of weakness. There's nothing better than a credible threat of military action with strong diplomats. And I think that's what we had in the Trump administration. I hope that people will see gas prices, food prices, wars around the world to understand that we need Donald Trump back. The swamp and the DC types do not want him because he's trying to change Washington. We're desperate. We need to change Washington, DC, and Donald Trump is the best person to do it.
You know that I taught American government in college for a number of years, and my summary of politics, poly means many, ticks are blood-sucking insects. Our job is to elect non-ticks to Washington, D.C. Is that a fair summary?
Yes, I think it is a fair summary.
Rick, thank you. Thank you for your excellent comments and the many ways you've served our nation. I'm proud to call you friend. God bless you, friend.
All the best.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking about female veterans with female veteran Teresa Robinson. Garrett Veal will present the American Legion Boys State Program, and Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football game. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones, grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.